You're tuned to Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Ruby Wright, and this is The Collectors. The collector in this week's programme is Andrew Rutland, who's a founder member of performance collective Shunt. Join us now for an audio tour of Andrew's collection of fake food.
So, yeah, that's my giant piece of bacon.
Can you describe it?
I mean, it's large. It's about 3 or 4 foot long. It's pretty lifelike, streaky bacon, cooked, crispy. That was a picture for my sort of one-man show.
So it's a picture of you naked,
yeah,
with your eyes blacked out as if...
Yeah, as if it's like a sort of Contact magazine or something, you know, like quite sordid behaviour hanging around with a large piece of bacon that I didn't want to, you know, my family to know it was me, sort of thing.
And you're wearing the bacon like a sort of toga, I'd say, slung over one shoulder.
Yeah.
It's much more realistic than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's very real, isn't it?
Yeah. What's it made of?
Silicon.
And you made it?
I didn't make it, no. I commissioned it. My kind of artistry is of the Jeff Koons school of artistry. Coming up with the ideas is quite enough for me. And then I pay someone who's got the skill and the talent, which I so sorely lack, to make it for me.
So why did you have it made?
I just had this idea that I wanted to make a giant piece of bacon, and I wanted to basically make an art piece out of it, and it was going to have my signature on it, and I was going to like hang it on the wall and try and sell it, you know, trying to get into the art world and become an artist. And that was the first and last probably idea that I'd ever definitely executed. And when I looked at it on the table, it wasn't good enough, you know, it wasn't quite that spectacular, so I ended up using it in my performance arty one-man show to great effect. And I walked around Shunt with it a lot. One night down at Shunt, there was a big gathering of Jews. There's this group of sort of young Jewish guys, and they like hold radical Jewish yeshivas, which traditionally is when like all Jews get together and they talk about like Jewish ideas. And so someone invited them down at Shunt to put on this night, and they were having like study groups, and it was over there you could talk about this, and over there you could talk about that with Dr. so-and-so. And there was this sort of Hasidic Jew outfit in our prop stores, so I went and slipped into that and grabbed my piece of bacon and just started wandering around listening in on the study groups, dressed as a Hasidic Jew with my bacon. Basically everybody in the whole place wanted to talk to me and did talk to me. Some people were really offended and thought it wasn't funny. Others thought it was great and really funny, but everyone wanted to know like why and what. And what did it mean? And people were like, what are you saying? What does it mean? What are you on about? I said, duality, I think, was my answer, basically. The thing is with fake food, a lot of it's realistic, so it's realistic size. But being really inspired and into pop art, I wanted giant fake food. Pop art is what I like, and I kind of, the food thing seemed to appeal to me. So I was looking for giant fake food. I couldn't really see any, couldn't find any, so I thought I'd make the bit of bacon as a piece. But I started off with fake food performing again. I told you I did, it was called The Breakfast Tapes, Volume 1, inspired by the Bob Dylan album title, The Basement Tapes. And this was called The Breakfast Tapes, and it was just me dressed as an Indian. I wanted to sort of black up, but they wouldn't allow me. Like the Shunt gang. It was when Shunt were in Bethnal Green, and we used to do these cabarets every 2 months. And I'd got myself every single bit of English breakfast in fake food, like, and some more. And I kind of walked on stage with a sports bag, and I put a plate down on a table, and I took every bit of food out, and it was like, egg, what style, fried, bacon, what style, streaky. And I put it down, I showed it to the audience, and it's like, potato, which style, chip. I put it on the plate, potato, another one, yes, boiled. And I put that down, bean, what style biked, and I put that down, the sausage, what type pork, or normal, and Frankfurter, and had a few different sausages, and it was sort of spur of the moment, but seemed to be quite funny. People laughed a lot. But then I remember afterwards, standing outside in the interval, and there was a girl there who had been trying to do this aerial show thing before, and David, the sort of director of Shunt, had watched her rehearsing it, and he'd like nished her doing it. He'd said to her he didn't want her to do that, which is very rare and unlike him, because he's usually completely inclusive of everything. And then when I stood outside in the interval, I heard this guy talking to Layla, going, I mean, why didn't he let you do your aerial piece? I mean, Jesus, there was that guy with the bacon in his sports bag. I mean, he let that happen and he wouldn't let you do your aerial thing. So, you know, that wasn't very good for my confidence at the time.
So what is it about fake food? Is it that it's just funny?
I think it's funny. And food in general is quite a sexual thing. There's, and meat especially. Sausages especially, pork, and there's something about like all that like fake jumbo sausages lying around my house that appealed to me in some kind of funny carry-on sort of sexual way.
So did it all start with performance, or were you collecting fake food before you were a performer?
I think I had a few bits lying around from when I was in the clothing business. We used to make and sell clothes, but then I stumbled upon this idea of making and selling jokes. And I got in touch with a sort of joke company, and I got them to package all these jokes, but with my branding of the clothing company. So I would be at the trade fairs, hanging on the rail. So it'd be like t-shirt, overcoat, sports jacket, glow-in-the-dark turd. Fake cheese, stick on moustache, and it was all like on the rail, packaged as if it was like another jumper or another t-shirt, which was quite funny. And you know, I'd get samples from the joke company, so I had a few bits of cheese lying around and a few fried eggs, and so I just had it lying around, I guess, for years. Yeah. And then when it came to performance and getting into performance, it was like, I want to perform. Oh no, I haven't got any ideas whatsoever. Oh look, there's a box of fake food. That's funny. I could just pull that out of a bag and show it to people with an Indian accent. Why not?
So do you think the most successful fake food is the most sort of visceral? I mean, the fried eggs that really look...
real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. Like, that hamburger is amazing.
Tell me about the hamburger.
I mean, it's just so real looking, isn't it? The whole thing is just so glossy and convincing and real, yet it's so plastic as well, and it's such a piece of pop art. That came from Japan, that piece. In all the food shops, restaurants in Japan, pretty much every one of them's got a glass window outside with plastic food models of what they make, like really detailed, like, you know, if it's soba noodle soup, they'll have a mold of the sort of super noodle thing that sits in a bowl. And if they sell it with two prawns, then they'll put two prawns on top. And if they have a few slices of something, then you can buy those few slices. So I went in Japan to the street where there's all the shops that sell all the fake food. And what's really interesting is the total difference between the artistry of it. You know, there's like one shop that's got really cheap, crappy quality, and that's like £2 or £3 for a big fake prawn. And then you go across the road and there's like proper amazing real life fake food shops, and that's like £40 for a fake prawn. Then England, like, it's just pathetic, you know, what they bosh out here, because here the market's not for like putting it in a shop window of a really fancy restaurant. It's basically for theatre and TV.
Oh wow, this is, can we just describe, oh god, it's a lovely thing. It's a plate laden with mostly meat.
That's English. It's a slice of Parma ham, but it's completely looks so fake, doesn't it?
It does look fake, But it's not utterly, I mean, it's not, no, it's trying. It's
trying, yeah. And again, that's like a piece of theatre. Mm-hmm. Whereas, that's actually also an English piece of bacon, but that's pretty good.
Well, that's cooked. That's fried. It's very good.
That's a very good piece of Danish bacon, but that piece came from England.
Do you think that's moulded? Do you think they took a cast of a piece of bacon?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they don't take a cast of a piece of bacon. They make a mould out of clay, then they make the cast out of that.
It almost looks like they've made a flat piece of plastic and then they've literally fried it. It looks like it really has curled itself.
Yeah, doesn't it? Then there's a lot of prawns, because my one-man show actually uses all real prawns. A lot of it's based on sort of me being Jewish and wanting to eat prawns and not being able to, and I'd say I'm confused, and I'm really confused about, you know, what is a prawn and what is a shrimp, and I pull out a shrimp and say, well, that's a shrimp, and then I pull out a big one and say, well, that's a prawn, and I pull out a slightly big one and go, well, I think that's a king prawn, and then I pull out a massive one and go, what the f*** is that one? And that's a Madagascan prawn. So unfortunately I have to use real prawns for that. But I'm planning on perhaps making a model of a Madagascan prawn so I don't have to, like, stink up the place with boxes full of real prawns every time I try and do my show. These are Japanese ones, really expensive. Like, they cost me 40 quid a piece.
That's amazing.
And that's like an English one. I mean, look at that.
It's really tragic, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. That's pathetic. This is my absolute pride and joy. This is probably my favourite piece. That piece has had more action. It's just the most brilliant prop to keep in your pocket. It's a very good fake sort of German Frankfurter.
It's obscene.
It's quite obscene. These are bits from the breakfast tapes.
Those are lovely.
Yeah, those are good. And that's a sort of funny old potato. The toast, not bad, I suppose.
Could be better colour, but yeah. The texture's very good.
Texture's not bad, is it? Yeah. No. Pudding black. I did have some chips, I've lost those. But that's right, and I remember one time doing another cabaret at Shunt, and again, I'd left it to the absolute last minute. I had no idea what I was doing. I had this little van. You put it on a record, and you turn the van on, and it had a needle in the bottom of it, and it drove around the record, and it had a speaker on the top, and it played the record. Have you seen those things?
No, but it sounds brilliant.
I had denim jeans on, and a string vest, and a handlebar moustache. It was quite a sort of gay rock look. Rock Breakfast, that's what it was called. And I walked on stage, dressed like that, with a huge Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket under my arm, which I'd, like, been in Kentucky Fried Chicken buying some food before the show. I thought, oh, I'll get a bucket, why not? That'll look good. You know, that's how bereft of ideas I was. So I put a load of fake food in the bucket and I walked onto the stage and I took out my Led Zeppelin record and then I put my little van on top of it and it started driving around the record playing Whole Lot of Love. It was going, and, you know, really tinny, playing Whole Lot of Love. And then I took a hammer out and smashed the van and the record and ripped it up. And everyone was like looking at me going like, what the hell is that guy doing? And it was so, I'd never been on stage with less idea of what the hell I was gonna do in my whole life. It was the worst moment ever for me on stage. And then as I walked back through the audience, sort of, I actually started taking my fake food out of my bucket and giving it away to the audience. And I think I lost a pile of chips that day, and I definitely lost a few bits of bacon. And it was a dark day, so I lost a few bits of the breakfast
on that day. That's a sad, sad tale.
It was terrible. So I need to definitely stock up again.
So what's your favourite piece? Is it the Frankfurt?
Yeah, the Frankfurt is definitely my favourite piece. Definitely. It's just funny and it's obscene.
Well, it's an amazing collection.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
The Collectors was produced by me, Ruby Wright. For more information, visit rubywright.wordpress.com.